Can you say amen?
Amen.
So according to the scriptures, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Now, if his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, it means to me that the way I'm thinking, if it's not like God, I need to go up a notch. Because I'm probably thinking something that I have heard or maybe somebody has taught, but it's not altogether that it's true. But we know that God's word is true. I said it is true.
Yes, it is.
And so it's very, very important for us to really honor his word. Even the Bible says higher than his name. And because his word is the thing that's going to make a change in our lives. No matter what's going on, no matter how you're acting, if you find in the word that you're not acting according to the word, you need to change how you're acting to agree with the word rather than try to make the word come down to where you are living. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Now, it sounds simple, but it's very profound, and it's something sometimes not that easy to do. You just have to make up your mind, this is what you're going to do. Let's go to a scripture that I've used before, but this scripture is very powerful because it's saying something here that I think we all need to talk about. Let's go to the book of Psalms in chapter 11. Psalms in chapter 11. And I'll have it on the board for you if you don't have Bibles, but we'll put it on the board so you can see it. He said in verse 11 and let's just start at verse 3, if you will. At 11 and 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, let's just deal with the word foundation for just a moment. One of the places where you know foundation is in a house, building of a house. And I'm not a construction person, I'm not a builder, but I know something about it just from the outside in. But that a house has to have a good foundation. And I know sometimes, even when I look at them building downtown, building those tall buildings, they drive these piles down deep. And they put them down there so that they want to hit solid rock. They want to have something solid for them to stand on. Why? Because in time, we call this the windy city. And the wind start blowing. And what you don't want is you don't want the wind to blow the building down. Well, it's the same thing about your house, of your life or your family or whatever have you. It's got to be built on a firm foundation. So one of the first things we do here at Living Word is when somebody gives their life to the Lord or they come over and join us here at Living Word Christian Center, we have them to go through a mandatory course called Foundations. And that foundation course is me teaching them some of the foundational truths that they must know if they're going to have the benefit that God wants them to have from living the Christian life. So it's a foundation that's got to be built. Now, people who have been in church for 40 years, they go in there and say, I never knew that. Well, somehow they didn't get the right foundation. And thank God he sent them here. I'm not criticizing other places, but I'm saying this, that what I try to do, no matter what the situation is I try to make sure that I'm teaching the truth. I don't care what I think about it. I want to teach the truth. I don't care how they look at me. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yes.
So as we look at this idea of marriage, we're going to look at it from the aspect of the truth. And not only just marriage, but your life and the life of a male man and so forth. All right. So if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, if we want to know what the foundation is like, we need to go back to the beginning, back to the book of Genesis. Now, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, book of Genesis, chapter 1, and look at verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So now God made man, and he said, let him have dominion. That means rulership, lordship, authority over. Okay, the fishes here, the fowl there, and over all the earth. And then if you go on down to chapter 2, he says here in chapter 2, and start reading here at verse 8. And it said, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. I want you to see something now, that the woman was not made yet. She was not made yet. He was just talking to Adam. Now, this is Adam that he's talking to. And then he goes on down. After he puts Adam in this garden that God made, he tells Adam this. He said in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely do what?
Die.
All right? Now, I want you to see this because he's still talking to the man. He's not talking to a woman. He's talking to a man. So this man's got to dress it and keep it. He's got to protect it. He's got to cultivate it. All these are part of what this man is supposed to do. As we go on down here and look at verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. There was not found a help meet for him. Now it's interesting about this word help, because that same word is in Psalm 121 and verse 2. Let's start at Psalm 121 and verse 1 first. Let's start there, because it's familiar to you. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my what?
Help.
Keep going. My help cometh from the Lord. Now the same Hebrew word, seemingly, that he's saying help here is the same word help back there. This is the same root word, meaning that God is going to give him a companion, that this Spirit of God would be on this person to be able to help Adam do what Adam's been called to do, the purpose Adam has, okay? So the woman is not bad, she's your help.
Yes.
And sometimes what happens is a woman maybe is going to a job and her job pays her more money than the man is making. Well, don't get down on her, she's still helping you. You see, you need more money, don't you? All right, well, she's helping you. All right, let's just keep going here. And it says here, verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called what? Woman, because she was taken out of man. Now again, foundation. Foundation. So notice what God did. He formed this man. As a matter of fact, if you want to see that particular scripture, I'll just point it to you. It says in verse 7. It says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now that word form, see, God did two things with man. He created him and made him. See, he created him from the spirit, and he made him from the ground. See, so he had a spirit that he put in this clay that he formed. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. Now, the reason why I want to show you that is because God only went to the ground once. He didn't go twice. He went once. And the reason why he only went once is because man is the foundation. And a lot of times what we have heard is that the family is the foundation of society. And that's not true. That's not true. The man is. The man is. Now, when I say man, I mean male man. You can see what I'm saying? Okay? Because she was womb man. He was male man. So we all, in a way, are men. But she is womb man. And he's male man. And both of these have two different functions. You know in yourself, electricity. You're going to plug a plug in the wall. They call this plug the male part. The little prong sticking out. This is the male part. And then the receptacle is called the what? Female. See? So I got to stick this in that for me to get something to flow. So you got to remember that these two pieces run together. Now they have two separate functions, but they function as one. Are you with me here? They function as one. So when a person gets married, the Bible says that, and I'll give you the scripture for that. It says that what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Glory to God. And I think that's found over in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6. Would you put it up there on the board, please? Okay. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. Wherefore, what therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Now see, that's key that you underline what God put together. Now, we got to underline that because some of this stuff God didn't put together. And this is very key because a lot of times what happens is that we had been trained in a society that if you are, you know, 35, 40 years old, and you're still single, something must be wrong with you. And that is not true. What you have to do is remember that God has a plan for your life. Glory to God. And what you and I want to do is make sure that we follow the plan that God has and not get ahead of God in trying to work the plan out ourselves. Are you following what I'm saying? So let me cover a couple of more things for you because I want you to see this in your spirit. Now, I'm only going through the word now. Let's look at Genesis chapter 24 and verse 7. And in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 7, look what it said. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swear to me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Now, I want you to know something. This is Abraham sending his servant out to get a wife for his son. Now, how does he know his son's type? Let me come over here. How does he know his son's type? Now, you follow what I'm saying? I'm saying that because God knows your type.
Amen. Amen.
See, he knows exactly the kind of person that you need to fulfill what he has planned for your life. See? And if we go out and do it, we might confuse love with lust. Can I keep talking now? And I'm saying that what God wants to join together. I'm starting at the beginning, because if the foundation is going to be the man, he's got to build this house, then he makes sure that he's getting the right components so that he can build right. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Let's go over to Genesis and chapter 29, if you will. Now, in Genesis chapter 29, a little bit different case, but this is Jacob. And Genesis chapter 29 and verse, verse 9. Genesis chapter 29 and verse 9. And he said this, "And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept." Now, wait a minute. He saw this woman. And when he saw this woman, he knew this was a woman for him. Now, something went off inside of him. I'm sure he knew other women. But this one, y'all kind of quiet, aren't you? This one, I'm just saying, if we're going to start, we got to start from the beginning. Okay, I'm saying that you can't let pressure of society tell you who to marry and what to marry and how, what to do. But you got to make sure that God is leading you to the right place. And so in one case, you didn't even need to be there. The servant of the father went out and got the woman. And another case, this is a case where he ran up to the woman himself and said, you know, wow. I mean, the Barry White music started and it was on, brother. And I know with my wife, now I knew a lot of people. But when I came up at IBM to visit my friend and I came by that desk and saw that woman sitting there, something went off in me. I didn't know her, never seen her before in my life. I knew all kinds of ladies, fine, pretty, everything. But something happened right there. I went in his office and said, "Who is that?" And he said, "Oh, man, you don't want to know her. She's too religious." I said, "Whoa, okay." So my point to you is, all right. Now, I'm just saying that because you want to make sure you get the right person, because marriage is under attack. You got what I'm saying? And you don't need things against you that need not be against you. So you need to start off with the right combination. So you wait on the Lord leads you, and so forth like that. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit in this time is necessary if you want to fulfill God's plan for your life. Say amen to that. It really is necessary. All right. So here is this foundation. This is a man and a woman. Now, marriage, out of marriage, supposed to come children. Out of marriage, supposed to come children. Now, listen, I know we got things happening all kinds of ways today. But out of marriage, originally, is supposed to come children. That's supposed to be the offspring of the marriage. Now, I know that we've got a lot of kids out here that have baby daddies all over the place and so forth. God has a way to fix anything. Glory to God. As a way to thank God for that. All right, now, so here we have the man. Here is the man. So now Eve was approached by Satan. And Satan didn't come to Adam. Satan came to Eve. Because Satan was after Adam, not Eve. He was after Adam. So he went through Eve to get to Adam. And Eve ate of the fruit that she was tempted with. And the Bible says, gave it to Adam, And he ate. Now, hold on. Verse 4 of chapter 3 of Genesis. And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her. And what did he do? He ate, and the eyes of both of them were open. Okay. Could Adam have stopped this?
Yes.
Why didn't he? Well, we can speculate on that. But Adam is what you call the head. He is the head. Now let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Keep the order. "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ." Every man. Every man is Christ. "And the head of the woman is a man. And the head of Christ," keep going, "is God." So everybody's got somebody they're reporting to. Now, I like what one man said, and this is what he said. He said, "This is my definition of authority. Authority is God's plan to protect his people." Never forget he said that. Authority is God's plan to protect his people. See, he's not asking you to submit to authority because he wants to take away your freedom. He's asking you to submit to authority so that you can live. Amen. Remember, it talks about kids. And talk about kids who don't submit to authority. Let's put it up there. Let's put up Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Now watch this. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise," watch this, "that it may be what with you? Well with thee, and that thou mayest what? Live long on the earth." See? See, this is why you want to come under their authority, because here's the house. It's got the male, then the female, and then the children. And then Rover, the dog. And so my point to you is that this authority order has got to be established. And Satan is after the order. He's after the order. He's trying to keep women from submitting to the man, and watch this, from the man taking responsibility for the house. I call it a deadhead. That for some reason abdicated responsibility to somebody who's not supposed to carry that. And so that's what you have today. You have people who are not the foundation. They were never created with the strength of a foundation. And what do they do? They're trying to hold up the house, and they're not made for it. So what happens? Bodies break down. Cancer, whatever have you. Not intended. When he fashioned a woman, if you look in their Hebrew, it's delicate. He delicately fashioned her. She's not made for hard work.
Amen.
That's why God calls you the bride and tells you that you're more than a conqueror. It means that Jesus conquered it. You just take the delivery of it. They're not made for it. So now we've got Eve making decisions for the house. Now, these are decisions that are going to affect eternity. And Adam knew better. Why? Because he had first the revelation. And he could have said, nope, take the snake shoes back, because we're not having them. But he offered no resistance. Now, when he ate, he then caused all of the destiny of all humanity to be changed. Why? Because everybody was in Adam. Everybody was in Adam. He was the head. He was the federal head of the human race. Boom. So everybody in him sinned when he sinned. And what you do in your life can affect folks down the line. So you got to make right decisions. You got to be responsible. Why? You're the foundation. If the foundation be destroyed, come on, what can the righteous do? Nothing. So, if you go on back and look at this, let's see what now the response is. So they go and hide themselves, Adam and his wife, verse 8. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. From the presence of the Lord. Now, the presence of the Lord is something that men want to always have, the presence of the Lord. And this garden represented the presence of the Lord. Now, in this presence, you need presence before you need people. See, sometimes we seek relationship, but we need some presence first. Oh, I better go on. Okay. Look at verse 9. And the Lord God called him Adam, unto Adam, and said unto him, where are you? Now notice who he didn't call. Who didn't he call? He didn't call the woman, Eve. He didn't call her. He didn't call her. It's not her ability that would have kept them protected. It was his ability. Now I'm saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. I'm just letting you know right now that we got to come back to the order of things so we can get the right results in this society that we've got out here today. So let's just look at Genesis. And let's look at Genesis chapter 31. All right, look at it. And verse 30. Now watch this now. I want you to get this because this is a real good revelation for you. Look what happened. Now here's, look at me. Here's what happened. Here's Jacob working for his wife. Laban, who's Rachel's father, said, work for me 7 years and I'll give her to you. So he worked 7 years, and Laban didn't give him Rachel. He gave him the other daughter, the one that had two teeth missing in the front. No, I just kidding. But he gave him the other daughter. Y'all knew I was going to say that, didn't you? Okay. So here's Laban now. He's a trickster. And he said, okay, work for me 7 more years. So he worked for him 7 more years. So now he gets Rachel. Now, he has a child by Rachel, so forth and so on. Now he's ready to leave. And so Laban doesn't want to let him go. Why? Because he's basically making money for Laban. So if he's making money for Laban, Laban doesn't want to let him go. And it's kind of like the system today. They don't want to let you go if you're making money for them. Are you with me? All right, now... Here's what happened. You just stay with me. Here's what happened. So, Jacob now goes ahead and gets an idea from God and prospers. And so now he steals away and leaves. And let's start reading here at verse 29. Are you with me? And it is in the power of my hand to do you heard, but God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest need be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? Now this is Laban talking. Laban said, wait a minute. Leaving was one thing, but you stole my gods. Because Laban was worshiping false gods. Look what happened next. And Jacob answered and said unto Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure, thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. That's why I stole away. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not what? Live. Before our brethren discern thou what things with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. So notice what happened. Rachel stole the gods. They left. Laban saw that his gods were gone. He went after them and caught up with them. And Jacob said, we didn't steal them. In fact, whoever stole them, he's going to die. This is the head. Now, this hadn't been preached, folks. It has not been preached how much power is flowing through that head. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Now, he didn't mean to curse his wife like this. But the law is still working. Now, here's what the law says. Put it up there, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Here's the law. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you what? Life and death, keep going, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose what? Life, that both you and your who? Your seed may live. So as the head, that head can speak blessing over his family. But that head can also speak curses. And that law will go into operation because he has the authority to speak it. She can say something and he can cut it off. If it does not agree with what God gives him, he can cut off. I've had situations on my wife, for example. I would say something. She said, I don't think we should do that. I said, well, I just feel that the Lord's telling me that, you know, that's what I think is placed in my heart and so forth. Now, I wasn't sure about it, but I'm adamant about my position. You know what she would do? She wouldn't even talk to me anymore about it. She'd go pray to my head. And my head would change my mind. Now, that's a long ways from fussing all night, isn't it? Now, understand, she can't do it. See, sometimes, that's what women do sometimes. You know, they come, the man ain't saved, so she takes the Bible and put it out in the middle of the couch on John 3:16 or something, trying to get him saved. See, it doesn't do anything but make him mad. So my point to you is, she's not the head over him. The only way Satan could have gotten in this earth is that Adam let him in. Adam let him in. This man is the foundation and has been given the chief authority in this earth. Satan knows that. That's why he doesn't want the man to come to church. He wants him to go to the ball game. Because if the foundation be destroyed, what can society do? Nothing. So as you, as a head, need to know what my rights are in this earth over my family and whatever else I have jurisdiction over, I got something to say about it. Now, what did Jezebel do? Y'all heard of Jezebel before. Jezebel had a husband named Ahab. Now, if you know anything about him, he was a wimp.
Thank you.
He was a wimp. He was a kind of a man that didn't do anything but cry, complain, and you know, mamby-pamby and Wally Cox. And I'm telling you, what God needs is strong men. He needs a man that will make a decision and stand on it. Say amen to that. So he had no idea that his wife had taken that God, because what he did is just loose the curse on her. And it was working, and he had no idea. So what happened as a result of that? Come on over to Genesis. And Genesis chapter 35. You with me? Look at verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrah. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him what? Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrah, which is Bethlehem. Now, I want you to see something. He even negated the name. Now, listen, folks, I'm not trying to say that because you're the head, because you're the one in authority, that means that you have to protect everybody else. That doesn't mean that you throw around curses and so forth like that, because those people are also children of God. Say amen to that. And God still says, "Touch not my anointed." So we're supposed to be blessing them. But I'm just going to say something. That today, we've got a system that is trying to take away the man's sense of authority. That's what this system is doing. And it, one way or another, trying to make him feel insignificant. And so what do men do? They get frustrated. And I'm not trying to say this is a reason for doing this, but what do? They go out to other women, trying to get them to please them and so forth and so on. A woman at the job, at the water fountain, "Ooh, you got big muscles." He don't have no muscles at all. He is just a weak, he had no muscles anywhere in sight. And now all of a sudden he thinks he's somebody. He starts sticking his chest out. Now he wanted to get involved with some other women. Are you following what I'm saying? No, what must be like? You got to understand that once God puts it together, yes. Now you've got some things to fight with, yes. That Satan cannot overcome. Yes. You've got long suffering. Yes. You've got power to cast out devils. Yes, say amen to that. Amen. So here, he tried to come after me with my marriage after about 6 months. Here, my wife, we all kiss her face and everything. But then here comes Satan, and he came. Now, he tried to use my past, because I came from a family that was a divorce. When we were little boys, mom and dad used to fight all the time. Man, I'm telling you, we got so tired of that. We were so glad when they got divorced, we didn't know what to do. And so because you couldn't bring your friends home, you couldn't, the air was just thick with hatred and so forth. And so whatever, that stuff in that environment spoke to our spirit, and some of that image came in there. See? So you live by your image. Whatever image is in you, that's what you believe. That's where you go. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So what happened was, I get my wife, and 6 months after, the enemy telling me she can't cook. See, she told you she can cook, and she didn't listen, and you thought she was strong. She crying and so forth. I got to get out of this. This is the enemy talking to me. So what did I do? I got the word of God. But I got it through a meeting that I went through to like this. And in that meeting I went through, the man of God said, you can have what you say.
Amen.
So I said, okay, well, wait a minute. I believe that's the devil. And I then got the Bible, or got this little book, Praying God's Word, and began to pray it all the time. Father, I thank you that my wife is a virtuous woman. She always does me good as long as there's life within her. Bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity she does not eat. She gets up early, gets spiritual food for the house. She assigns her maids their tasks. She does not court neglect of her present duties by assuming others. She opens her mouth with skillful and godly wisdom. The word is working mightily in our marriage. We've been transformed into the image of Jesus by the renewing of our mind. And I'd finish reading that, and the devil would say, that ain't true, is it? And my mind would say, no, that's not true. But my spirit said it's true. Why? Yes. Because every word I just spoke, quoted, was the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Every word I'm focused. See, my marriage is already spoken of in heaven.
Yes. Yes.
God has already blessed my marriage in heaven. This is before I ever got married, he blessed it. And so what I got to do is get heaven down to earth. And the way I do that is through the word of God. So if something in my family doesn't look right, I need to go see what God said about it. Then once I see what he says about it, I shift the atmosphere. I actually speak into the atmosphere, and you as the authority figure can shift the atmosphere. What am I saying? Here's Adam. You just let it go. Here's Jacob. Spoke the wrong thing. So I don't care how it looks. We got to say what God said.
Amen.
All right, let's go to the last step. Now, this is your wife. Now, how about your kids? Now, I understand why the enemy wants the kids. Because he wants to cut off your seed. He wants to cut off your future. He's not only after you, but he's after your future.
Yeah.
So he wants children because that is the future. So he wants to get them. So you and I have something to say as fathers about our children.
Yeah.
Now, in the Old Testament, they did something interesting. They named them. And when they named them, remember, Abraham's name got changed from Abram to what? Abraham, which means father of a what? Multitude, many nations. So God changed his name so that every time he spoke it, every time he heard somebody say it, it was decreeing it into the atmosphere.
Yes, yes.
Is this the right bunch I'm talking to, man? All right. So it's important now that we also raise our children and not leave our children to be raised. Let me say it like this. Not just leave our children to chance. We've got something to say about the future of our children. All right? Now there's one more place. Let's go to Psalm 137 first. Psalm 137. I'm almost done. Psalm 137. You need this. Amen. All right. Over in Psalm 137, he says this. 127. All right. Now just stay with me here. All right. Now our kids have to be trained. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, that train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. So we have to train children. Don't leave children to be trained of themselves because they can't train themselves. And the next thing about it is this, that you might say something that your child will get angry. Let them get angry. What you know is that in the end, they will appreciate it. They can't see it now because they're too young to see it. But if you correct them now, you'll have a blessing at the end. All right? It says, don't provoke them to wrath, meaning that don't say things and issue unrealistic threats and don't, you know, don't do things to set up a double standard. In other words, if you don't want them to cheat, you don't cheat on your taxes as well. Okay. All right, now look what it says here. Now, I know some of you looking at me saying, well, I don't know whether I came for this. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. They drove all night. Okay. All right. Now, check this out. Because the enemy, again, is after the family. Now, he's trying to make people redefine a family. Trying to make it Adam and Steve instead of Adam and Eve. Now, listen. Let me tell you something. Marriage is an institution that was created by God. Now, watch this. Watch this. For God's people. You got to get all of this. It was created as an institution by God for God's people. Got it? So, one man, one woman.
One woman, that's it.
Got it? Now, wait a minute. Somebody said, well, wait a minute now. How about one man, 15 women?
No.
Well, hold it now. That's not the institution of God for his people. You got somebody that don't know God, they can have 50 women. Well, Solomon and them back in that time, but that's a different dispensation. Now, don't you try that. That's a different dispensation. But my point to you is that they're trying to redefine marriage and say two women could get married, two men could get married. Well, two dogs could get married. Just marry the dogs. Marry anything you want to marry. Because if it's not God's people, it doesn't come under that. They don't know anything about that. They don't get convicted with that. So I'm saying don't get all bent out of shape because somebody said, well, I want this, so forth. The thing that I don't want to do is don't change the laws so that you can use my tax money to do that.
Thank you.
That's what I don't like. Don't use my money to do it. You know what I mean? People are going to live in the kind of way they want to live. But don't use my money. I'm not financing it. That's where I got the problem. Now, true enough, I'm supposed to represent Christ and supposed to represent one man, one woman, so forth and so on. That's true enough. But my biggest beef with what you're trying to do, you're trying to use my money to do it. And that I don't agree with. That is unconstitutional. That's enough of that. I won't go any further with that. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Now, here's David. David is here. And notice what I did with David. He come in. And in the morning, before he went to school, I would pray for him. But I'd give him a 5-minute, 6-minute, 7-minute, sometimes 10-minute, sometimes 15-minute, little Bible study. I'd give him that. Now, I didn't give it to my daughters because I wasn't saved. I didn't know all of this. But I did it with him. How long did I do that? How long was that?
13 years.
So 13 years. Okay, now wait a minute. Because I learned something, see. See, I learned that I'm not going to leave it to chance. Amen. That I got something to say about it. Somebody said, well, I didn't do that. But I told you, faith can fix anything. Amen. See, when you ever look and say, well, I didn't do that, so forth, faith can fix anything because it moves time. Amen. So what happened? I called him, said, David, come on, let's have a Bible study before you go. Oh, Dad, my stomach hurt. I said, come on, sit down in this chair. I don't care what's hurting on you. You're going to hear this word of God. Because, you know, sometimes the enemy, you try to, you know, have him play that player thing. And I said, no, you're going to hear this word and so forth. So it may be times that your kids may not want to hear what you got to say. But you say it anyway. Because in the end, they're going to thank you for it. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. All right. So go be the man. Amen. I said be the man. Amen. Man up. I think that's what they're saying. Man up. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Hurt their feelings? What's that got to do with it? See, when I was coming, I'm old school. And when I was coming, they didn't have children's church. Children's church was right here beside mama. This was children's church right here. And you going to sit down and shut up and listen to that sermon. The mama will give you one look. You act up, she'll give you one look. That means you're going to get a whipping here in just a minute. Yes, yes. Just hold on. But that was, are you following what I'm saying? Somehow, all of a sudden, they're raising children up and the children seem to be running things. Now, I'm not saying be hard on them. I'm saying direct them. It says train up a child. Can I keep going?
Yes.
All right, I'm almost done. I know you didn't come to hear this, but you're going to be Father's Day. This is going to be your Father's Day gift. All right, look what it says here in verse 3 of 127, Psalm 127. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now watch this. Children are a heritage of who? The Lord. Check it out. The child is only given to you for you to raise as a steward. That child belongs to the Lord. He just gave him to you. Now it's your responsibility, come on, to raise him. Man, he chose you, you and this woman, whatever, and chose you, and boom, I'm gonna let him have this child. Now, you got that child? All right, let's start raising this child. Now understand, child belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
And as that child gets 13 or whatever age of consent, they recognize that Jesus is Lord and I need to give my life to the Lord. Boom, God, you hand him back to Jesus. Watch this next one. Verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Now, what does it say there? What do you do with an arrow? You take it and aim it. And you got to aim a child. You got to aim a child. And a father has a discernment for protection. Here I was raised in Tuskegee, Alabama, and Dad came home one day early for lunch. He didn't normally come home, but it was summertime and we were out of school. And I had this guy named Robert. He was in the house. Now, Robert was kind of a known hoodlum, and he was in the house. Dad came in here and walked right through. He spoke to him, went in the kitchen and called me, William, come here. Don't you ever let that boy in this house again. Now you get him out of here. I said, Dad, he said, did you hear me? I said, yes, sir. Get him out of here. A few months later, shot in the head. Robert, gangs. See, Dad didn't want me to swing over to that. He's pointing me like an arrow. Now, I didn't think Robert was that bad, but Dad saw something because he's father and he's my protection. Are y'all following what I'm saying? It's going down to the next part. This is going down now to Psalm 128, verse 1. Read that. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shall you be, and it'll be well with you. Watch this. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of the house, and thy children like olive plants round about the table. Now, I talked about this the other day. Now, this is the way God sees your children, because they're really his children. Remember, God has no grandkids. They're all children. Now, this is what an olive plant is to be like. Your children will have enlargement and prominence wherever they go. Wherever they go, they're supposed to stand out. Yoo-hoo! Watch this. Your children should be instruments of honor in God's kingdom, and they should command the respect of unbelievers. I don't know that about my boy. My boy's acting crazy. So, hey, let's speak over it.
Amen. That's right.
Yes.
Come on now. That's what we're supposed to do. See, we're supposed to speak into his life. We're supposed to act. Listen, every day I would say, oh, David, and boy, he got on up there. Next thing in college, he's teaching calculus to some of the football players.
Amen.
Now, I just could have let him go on the way he wanted to go. But that's not the deal. I got something to say about his future. You've got something to say about your kid's future. Well, he's big and rusty now. That's all right, praise God. You got a God that can do anything, man. When you apply faith to that, faith will turn anything around. I told him about Jesse Duplantis. I don't know whether you ever heard of Jesse before. Jesse Duplantis, he said he was way out there. He said he was a rock musician. He could drink a pint of liquor a day and snort cocaine. Then he'd go to a club and the phone would ring. I said, Duplantis, you got a phone call. He said he'd take the phone and answer the phone. He said, who knows I'm here? Hello? Jesse? This is your mama. I said, Mama, how did you know where I was? The Lord told me where you were. The Lord knows where your son is.
Yeah.
Knows where your children are. Why? Because they're a heritage of God.
Yeah.
You're just a keeper. Now speak over those kids. I said speak over those kids. Put up there, if you will, Job 22 and 28. Thou shalt decree a thing. Isn't that what it said? And it shall be a what? Established unto thee. And thy light shall shine upon thy ways. So it's not too late to speak it. I said it's not too late to speak it. Death and life are where? Not in the power of the devil. In the power of your tongue. What did I say next? I'm saying that God wants your children healthy, wealthy, and wise. And he wants their behavior and appearance and their progress to be noted by everybody. My goodness, isn't that wonderful? So what am I saying for you? Father's Day is coming up. One, if you're not married, you don't need to rush to get married. Because God wants you to get married when you are single. And when I say single, I mean whole. Come on now. You are all one. Notice, the people in the Bible that got married, they didn't say, well, I want to get married. They didn't say that. God knew when it was time. And prepared a wife for them. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So you don't rush. You don't have to rush to do it. Just let God handle it. Praise God. Next thing, for those who are married.
Amen.
And you're planning on having children. Realize that God is giving you the privilege to take those children and raise them up for his good work.
Amen.
And you've been called for such a time as this.
Yes,
every one of you. Now the last thing I want you to see is Jabez. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I know I kept you a long time, but that's what you came here for. You came to get the word, man. Amen. That's right. You don't have to go to work tomorrow anyway. And I'm going to feed you anyway. If I'm going to feed you, you're going to listen to what I got to say. Amen. All right, look what it says here. Starting at verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in with sorrow. Now, the word there, sorrow, means pain. So she named him Pain. Now, how would you like to be named Pain? Come here, Pain. See, when you call that child, you should say, stop that, you lawyer, you. You better put them shoes back in there, you chief executive officer. Are you following what I'm saying? Instead of calling you a little brat, you know, you little this or that, you don't need to call him that. You can call him what God said. All right, now watch this. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Watch this. Enlarge my coast, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, I want to read something here. This is for everybody. Jabez didn't ask for material things or great wealth, but he asked for one thing: enlarge my intellectual capacity regarding my own worth and also my capacity for conceiving what you have planned for me to do. Did y'all get that? That's what Jabez prayed. He prayed that God would give him a greater ability to think big thoughts. I took this prayer, and this prayer was a turning point in my life. If you would, I don't know who wrote the book, but it's a book called The Prayer of Jabez. If you can, pick it up. That, who was it? Bruce Wilkerson. The Prayer of Jabez. It's one of the finest small book writings that I think I've ever seen. I took it and I say it today. He enlarged, that's when I got a hold of this shopping mall. Next thing I know, he said, buy that shopping mall. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying it's amazing what happened when I started praying that prayer. So I'm saying for you, if you start praying the prayer of Jabez, watch and see what God's going to do to your life. I challenge you, say it for 30 days and watch and see what God's going to do to your life. Now give God some praise for what we do. All right. Now, let's do something here. Say this with me. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Lord.
Lord.
As you were with Abraham.
As you were with Abraham.
As you were with Isaac and Jacob.
As you were with Isaac and Jacob.
You are also with me.
You are also with me.
As you answered Jabez.
As you answered Jabez.
You will also answer me.
You will also answer me.
Because you are no respecter of persons.
Because you are no respecter of persons.
Now, by faith.
Now, by faith.
I pray this prayer.
I pray this prayer.
Oh, that you would bless me indeed.
Oh, that you would bless me indeed.
And enlarge my territory.
And enlarge my territory.
That your hand would rest upon me.
That your hand would rest upon me.
And that you would keep me and my family from evil.
And that you would keep me and my family from evil.
I ask this right now.
I ask this right now.
And by faith.
And by faith.
I believe I've received it.
I believe I've received it.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me just say this. Don't be surprised if certain people that are around you get jealous when you start moving forward. You don't need to come out against them. Just realize that God, because you've sought Him, He's going to make you a showcase. He's going to show you off. I decree this is your season. This is your season of manifestation of everything that Satan has tried to hold back in your life. I decree is being released right now. I'm talking about everything from relationships to money to jobs to property to possessions to healing. Everything that's for you is being released to you right now in the name of Jesus. As the authority that's given to me as the apostle of this house, I declare the blessings on you right now that will come on you and start overtaking you. Now, I tell you to just do one thing, speak life. Just keep speaking life. Don't be concerned about how it looks, just decree that thing. Whether it's for you or your wife or your family or your grandmother, whoever it is, start decreeing that thing. Walk in the house like you've got some authority. Come on, walk like you've got something to say about the future of these people, of your children. And don't be looking for anybody's approval. And don't be looking at a feeling. You don't need a feeling. I just told you right here that the man of the house said something and everything had to line up with it. So I'm saying you're going to speak life to your house. You speak life to your wallet. You speak life to your finances. I'm saying that things that have been held back are going to be released. This is your day of release. Father's Day will be your turning point. I said Father's Day will be your turning point. That everything that God has for your life, it's going to start manifesting starting tonight. I said starting tonight. Now, don't you look to the right or to the left. Don't look at people. Don't verify it. I want you to look only to God, and the faith that you have in Him is going to take you to your wealthy place. Father, we thank you for this word tonight. Any person in this house that's dealing with pornography, I break the power of it right now in Jesus' name. Anybody in this house that is dealing with any kind of disease, including AIDS, any kind of sexual disease, I break its power right now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and deliverance to them right now. Father, I pray right now that from now on, there'll be a new level of courage in these men. That the devil will not run away with our children like he did. But we will stand in the gap as men. And we will keep the city of Chicago safe and sound. In the name of Jesus. No more fear. 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 In the name of Jesus. Let it be so now. 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 God, it is this time. This is the season. Let it fall now, Lord. Let the rains come. Let the power flow. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, every child that's represented here among us, in every family, I speak the anointing of health, wealth, and wisdom. And that each one of them will be prominent. That they will be children like olive plants round about the table. We thank you for it. And Father, we give you praise. Call it done in Jesus' name. Now give the Lord a praise for it. Come on, give him a praise. No more fear. No more fear. I said no more fear. No more fear.